You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
This afternoon at 2 p.m., people will come to join a rally outside Science World to send a loud message to provincial and federal politicians that the people of BC oppose the proposed Enbridge pipeline and the destruction it would cause. While Enbridge propagandists claim to be gaining a buy-in of some First Nation groups, Art Sterrett of Coastal First Nations says Northern Gateway is the hill to die on in British Columbia. Over 160 First Nations have signed the Save the Fraser Declaration opposing tar sands exports projects through their territory, and 80% of British Columbians oppose crude oil tanker traffic on the coast. Today's rally in Vancouver is part of a National Day of Action on Climate Change that has sparked over 125 activist events across the country. Ben West is a tar sands campaigner for Forest Ethics, and he joins me by phone this morning. Hello, Ben.
Hey, good morning.
Why is this such a critical moment in the fight against Enbridge?
Well, after years of this campaign, I think we're going on over 5 years now that many of us have been working on this campaign to try to stop the Enbridge pipeline. We're now within weeks of a decision from the Joint Review Panel. And it's basically the last opportunity, for the federal government and the agencies of the federal government to really listen to the voices of the people of BC. This does have the potential to become, a clackwatt sound type moment if the government doesn't listen. There's many, many people who are not simply going to, hear from the government that this is going to go forward and then just simply sit by and watch that take place. And, whether it be lawsuits from First Nations or acts of civil disobedience or direct action, there's many people who are willing to do whatever it takes to try to stop this pipeline from being built. And basically what we're saying is we're asking the government to listen. We're saying, that there's been significant reasons that have been put forward, whether they be environmental, First Nations concerns, even the potential economic benefit would be taken away potentially, the jobs and fisheries and tourism and coastal industries that could be heavily impacted if an oil spill was to take place, and then to make things worse, of course, the fact that this is some of the dirtiest oil on the planet that drastically contributes to greenhouse gases that cause climate change. And as we're watching what's happening in the Philippines and elsewhere in the world, and the pleas coming from those countries at the international climate negotiations to do what it takes to reduce greenhouse gases, projects like this aggressively take us in the wrong direction. And that's why the action today is actually part of 150 rallies that are now happening all across Canada as part of what's been called Defend Our Climate. And this is basically an attempt to bring all the different pipeline fights and the expansion of the tar sands itself into the public eye all across Canada, and to really draw attention to what the Government of Canada is doing in the world right now.
Now, Clark's BC government formally submitted their opposition to Enbridge during the closing arguments back at the JRP hearings. How does Christy Clark's framework agreement with Premier Redford square with her pre-election stance?
Well, there's a lot of talk about how, Christy Clark is flip-flopped. We heard during the provincial election there was these attacks on Adrian Dix saying he flip-flopped on the Kinder Morgan pipeline. Quite frankly, I don't think that was what cost Dix the election. It was, a mix of other things. But, the truth is that he never had actually taken a firm position on Kinder Morgan to begin with. And then by the end of the election, the position was a bit more clear. But, really with the flip-flop that we're seeing is coming from Christy Clark. She, in the lead-up to the election, the submission to the Joint Review Panel was very clear. The government of BC was saying no to the Enbridge pipeline. Now it's not so clear. If you look at the agreement between Alberta and British Columbia, there's not a lot of detail there other than they're going to work together to try to find a pathway for pipelines to be approved. That may or may not be Enbridge pipeline. It could be Kinder Morgan that they're talking about. But there's also a strong emphasis on LNG and fracking, which of course is much to be concerned about as well, related to those pipelines and to that activity. So really what we're saying is it's time to take a step back and look at this and really to push the premier to you know, for starters, live up to what has already been submitted to the Joint Review Panel process. And it's incumbent upon the premier to do what's necessary to actually stop this pipeline, and there's still much that's within her power to do so, starting, first of all, with simply just speaking out against the project. But beyond that, you know, there's permits that the provincial government will need to make available if the project is approved, which she could deny. You know, there's funding that she could deny, and there's even legal options in the courts, you know, and a judicial review and other approaches that could be taken. So, you know, we're you know, today one of the things we'll be asking for is the Premier of BC to live up to her word, to the commitments she made to stand up for BC in the provincial election, and to actually put into action the you know, concerns that were raised during the Joint Review Panel process.
Now, the Alberta or the BC-Alberta Framework Agreement contains five conditions. Forest Ethics evidently issued a report saying that they can't be met. Can you outline what that report says?
Well, I mean, to put it really simply, I mean, we basically just quoted the submissions made by the government and other things raised, you know, by the government since then. There was a report that came out that was sponsored by the government of British Columbia that showed that we were woefully under-resourced to respond to an oil spill if one was to take place. And, you know, depending on conditions, you know, the it's possible that as little as, you know, 5% or less of the oil could be cleaned up, you know, if a spill took place. So, you know, basically we just went through the conditions one at a time, you know, First Nations opposition sort of being the most obvious and striking when you look at the overwhelming opposition that's come from First Nations in BC, and, you know, the now 160-some-odd nations who've signed the Save the Fraser Declaration from both BC and Alberta. You know, it just is obvious that that condition will never be met, you know, and you move beyond that, and the Joint Review Panel process, you know, being successfully completed, you know, the provincial government has made it clear that if in their perspective, you know, the company has not, you know, successfully completed the Joint Review Panel process, and in fact said that the pipeline shouldn't be built, you know, in terms of, you know, pipeline, you know, safety, you know, there really is no such thing. And really the particular concern that we raised was around diluted bitumen. You know, when you look at, you know, this very different, heavy, more toxic kind of oil that needs to be blended with some really harmful toxins like benzene, you know, just to be able to push it through a pipe, you know, there's very little that's known at this point about, you know, what the consequences of this kind of spill are. And we're just starting to see the first couple of these, you know, spills of diluted bitumen happening in water, probably most notably in the Kalamazoo River, but also recently in Mayflower, Arkansas, in a suburban community. You know, and basically we just quoted the provincial government's concerns about diluted bitumen back to them and said, you know, okay, well, here's your five conditions. You've clearly said that they're not being met. What are you going to do about it?
Now, what kind of organizing has been going on nationwide for this day of action today?
Well, what we've been doing in Vancouver is, you know, pretty good old-fashioned grassroots organizing. I mean, we've been knocking on doors, making phone calls, putting up posters, you know, holding town hall meetings, you know, basically doing everything we can think of, including, you know, a pretty fun campaign on Facebook and Twitter, where we got people to, you know, submit pictures of themselves that said another blank against the Enbridge pipeline, you know, another teacher, another grandmother, another, you know, dentist, architect, student. You know, there's been a lot of people getting creative with them, you know, dog walkers and people dressed up as polar bears. And, you know, the idea is to just kind of spread the word far and wide and to sort of remind the politicians that this is, you know, not just the so-called usual suspects, you know, that this is such an unpopular project that, you know, people from all walks of life in British Columbia are concerned and are willing to sort of speak out about their concerns. In other places across Canada, though, I mean, we're seeing a whole range of different activities from sort of more creative art builds, you know, with, you know, people who are, you know, organizing for the very first time. You know, there's rallies that are happening everywhere from Nunavut to New Brunswick to Vancouver, Toronto, Ottawa, Edmonton. I mean, you know, all the major cities have sort of more traditional rallies, and then some of the smaller communities are, you know, finding creative ways to draw attention to this. And, you know, I think the consistent thing has been, you know, knocking on doors, reaching out to people, doing the sort of organizing work that gives us the ability to not only have a rally, but also to, you know, to continue to build this movement, you know, for climate justice, for, you know, the rights of Indigenous people, and really for democracy itself. You know, and in a lot of ways, that's what feels like it's at stake today.
Now, in light of this new BC-Alberta agreement, what do you think is going to, what's it going to take to stop the pipeline at this point?
Well, I'm still hopeful that we can get them to abandon the project simply because of the public relations disaster that it is. You know, I think the Enbridge pipeline has seemed dead in the water for quite a while now. And, you know, it's still possible that it could be, you know, approved through the Joint Review Panel, or the federal government could push it through, even if not. But, I mean, it, you know, it's almost becoming the third rail of politics, the Enbridge pipeline. And, you know, we hope that it'll be stopped that way. You know, the next step, of course, would probably be in the courts, and you know, the First Nations rights that are kind of right at the middle of this conversation, you know, definitely has the potential to make its way all the way back to the Supreme Court, and that would hold up this project, you know, for quite some time, you would assume. But meanwhile, there are people who are training, you know, to do civil disobedience and talking about that. You know, and, you know, I think this does have the potential to be kind of like Clackwat Sound in that sense, where, you know, people are willing to, you know, kind of put themselves on the line to hold this project back. And, you know, it definitely will be a big conversation in the next federal election. You know, I hope that we have a change of government in the next federal election and move towards a government that is, you know, less friendly to these types of projects and the pace and scale of development in Alberta. You know, but I think the larger question is, you know, not just this pipeline, and this pipeline's been such a disaster, but, you know, what about, you know, the Kinder Morgan pipeline and many other projects that are, you know, of concern? You know, I think we need a broader conversation ultimately about, you know, what kind of energy we're using in Canada, where it's coming from, and what role we want to play in the world. And, you know, I think that's going to take, you know, really shifting this conversation to, you know, how we can create jobs in better ways, and do it in ways where we're not just kowtowing to big corporations, but actually, you know, having decisions that are made at the community level and projects that really can be supported and bring benefit at the community level and the impacts are minimized.
Great. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Well, thank you.
I've been speaking with Ben West, who is the Tar Sands campaigner for Forest Ethics. Today's mass rally will take place outside Science World at 2 p.m. and is part of a Canada-wide Day of Action on Climate Change taking place in over 100 communities.